pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. That's how you get in touch with the program. Still to come, about a half hour from now, my colleague at 1819 News, Craig Munger, will join us. So make sure you stay tuned for that. We will get to your text. I will do my best. There's probably a good 15 or so here left. But keep them coming. 251-343-0106, the wake left behind by one former Congressman Parker Griffith is certainly one to behold. All right, well, joining us now, I think we got him on the line here. We all know him, former state senator Rusty Glover on with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. Thanks for coming on. We always appreciate getting you on. Well, how you been? Still traveling around the state, I assume.
Sure, I'll be in Huntsville the end of this week and Huntsville the next week, and Marion County the next week, putting on these school programs we talk a little bit about fentanyl, texting and driving, alcohol abuse, and it's a good program for the kids with Aaliyah. You have Aaliyah SBI officers or state troopers, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, and we put on a good presentation with testimonial and statistics that really kind of curb the problems that some of these kids are going through.
That the whole fentanyl thing, I cannot. We didn't have this kind of stuff when I was around in school, but now, I mean, such a small dose could really, really send things in a tailspin.
Oh, sure, and the level of THC in the marijuana today is so much more destructive than what it was when in the 60s and 70s, and I think a lot of these doctors and psychologists are very, very concerned about what this type of marijuana is doing to the brain, the developing brains of these young people, and that is a big concern.
Well, I can't even imagine, and I have a little one, so I can't even imagine with that stuff floating around out there, what school-age parents are going through. But it sounds like you're fighting the good fight. Senator, let's talk about politics here, what's going on. There's a little bit of, the election cycle will be what it is. It's going to go Republican. So we have moved on to, I guess, legislative politics. But what do you think? Have you been following this? The fiscal year ended last week, and the state, I'm sure you would have liked to have seen this back in your day in the state Senate, but Alabama with a budget surplus, and it's out there. Now the debate is, well, what do we do with it now?
Yeah, it was totally new grounds for the legislature. I mean, it was always... you heard more of kicking the can down the road. There's a need for tax increases and all this. And now we have a surplus. A lot of the debate is have a tax cut or a rebate. I think what kind of gets lost on a lot of folks is which way the direction of the legislature will be. Look at the political side of it. A tax cut. Let's look at the state income tax. Okay, the state income tax, you take a percentage off of it, 1% off. If you do that, I think people will be happy. But today, in this day and age, business owners are some of the very few people that actually look at or have to write out a check to the government. With if it's less money they have to write out, they'll be much more appreciative than those that mainly look at their net pay each month or every 2 weeks. But now if you have a rebate and they get that, let's say at the end of the year, $500 or $600 or $1,000 rebate, there's going to be a larger smile. They're going to be more cognizant of what the legislator's done. They're going to be more appreciative. And I think the legislators will be much more happy to see the happiness of their constituents from a check coming in the mail than something that they may not even, they pass it 1 week and then 8 months later they get they find out, it's lost upon the people that they actually had a cut. But a check in the mail is something that's going to be very, very big. And also, you look at the grocery tax. One thing that was very concerning to us, you know, that had been taken, the grocery tax off, had been, you know, been floating around for many years. But the first time I heard about it, it was a transfer of tax. In other words, you're going to have you take the federal deduction off your tax, that you wouldn't not be able to do that again. So it was going to be a huge tax increase for a lot of Alabamians. And that was something that we stood very strong against. And anytime there's talk about taking the grocery tax off, I would think that that people of Alabama should be very aware that there's probably some sort of a different tax, and some people are going to pay more than what they had been paying in the present to put that kind of a tax cut in. Plus, another thing too is you got to think about is a lot of the municipalities and counties. You take that 4%, and again, a lot of people think, "Oh, take the grocery tax off. That's 10 cents. I'm going to be saving on every dollar." But that's not true. It's just 4% of the state tax would be taken out, and it would be very appealing to many on city councils and county commissions when times are tough in those counties. We'll just add one penny. You know, the people. You know, we got plenty of room to add more, and before you know it, there's been a transfer tax in place of the grocery tax, and then the local taxes go up from a sales tax. It's something that people need to be very aware of. You know, this clamor for ending the grocery tax, be careful of what you ask for.
That's the problem, because if the state rolls back that tax and wants to stop a municipality from doing it, well, then you could say, well, you know, we'll just have the legislature pass a law that says they can't do this. But do you really want that? Do you really want that micromanagement?
That will not happen. Yeah, that will not happen. I don't think that would be an option. And there lies the problem. You wind up maybe not all 4 cents coming back in, but two of it going back in. Plus you lose your ability to use that federal deduction, and that's a big tax increase for you, or there's some other tax somewhere else. Because, you know, we say we have a surplus. Well, with this past budget, I'm sure most of that money has been appropriated to areas that have reoccurring expenditures. In other words, the big question is, if you make a big tax cut and that's permanent, okay, then the question would be, what do you want to cut? What that we have appropriated needs to be cut? And of course, I'm sure there's a lot of people having ideas out there, but really one of the big new expenditures in the education budget would be teacher pay raises. So do we really want to go back when there's a serious teacher shortage and take away that teacher pay raise that just came in? That would be very problematic, in that you would have probably a lot of teachers just deciding to just throw their hands up and leave, and we would be more of a problem there. But a yearly surplus, given a rebate, I think that would be something that would make the constituents far more happier. Some would say, yeah, we need a permanent tax cut, but getting that check in the mail, I think, would be something that they would be very appreciative to their legislators for doing that.
Well, it's one time thing. Now, you know, something that occurs to me in this internet sales tax. I mean, you were around when they set this thing, but does it seem like that the projections have been, they've always missed projections. They've always underestimated those projections. And that's in some ways a good thing, but in other ways, I mean, kind of planning for the future, you want those projections, I would think, to be as accurate as possible, not lowballed. And that's where you're getting these surpluses, right?
Yeah, and the opposite was occurring in years past, a couple decades ago, which led to proration. And now it's kind of the other end. And I think a lot of it may be that in the recent past, there has been an underestimation of how many people are buying items online. You go back 5 years ago, there's a dramatic increase of people ordering online, which moves that so much more money into the general fund for general fund appropriations, and that's made a big difference in the amount of money coming in for the general fund.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, we're in good shape there, but Some people ideologically, I guess, would take issue with we don't have a state government that's supposed to be like this big, you know, place to accumulate money or whatever, that really ideally it just kind of goes along and gets along and survives check to check to check, right?
Right, right. And I agree. I would rather see a permanent tax cut. But I think that that the direction the legislature is going to go is going to be a little bit more, who knows what's going to happen in this country with this economy. Will we need that money 3 years from now that's now a surplus? Give a year-to-year rebate. And that's the thinking. I would rather see a tax cut, but a permanent tax cut. But I think that they're going to be more in line to go in the other direction, which at least they're doing that. And I think, let's say 1% off the state income tax, that's $500-$600 for me and my family. I'm thrilled about that.
Yeah, I would think so. The state government keeps growing, though, and it grows in ways incrementally. It seems inevitable, but the fear for me would be this: if the state is accumulating all this money and all of these rainy day funds, and then it just keeps piling up, then they will do something bigger, like expand Medicaid or whatever it may be. Correct. And that's the danger here. If the state is too successful, I should say, at raising money, isn't that the fear, that you're just growing you're growing the state?
Yes, and that was an example you use, the expanding Medicaid. There are other ways that they can expand government. Besides that, I think that may be more difficult with, many of your guests over the last few weeks have pretty much said, no, that's not going to happen. Now, I don't know how that's changed. I remember that 10 years ago, it was pretty much up to the governor, and the legislature didn't have as much of a role in that. So those that are saying, no, 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 we're not going to expand Medicaid, well, how big is their voice going to be in the determination whether we expand Medicaid, or is that just up to the governor? Which, on a whim, the governor could do that. And that would eat up a lot of potential surplus over the next few years for sure.
Well, and that's, the one thing that this state has done since Republican control is it's to fight off the threat of proration, right? It's to make sure that we never go back down that pathway. And mostly have been successful. There does seem to be this reluctance from lawmakers. They don't want to go back in that direction ever. So they're not quite as receptive to cutting taxes, I think, for that reason.
Right, right. And like I say, you asked a legislator from now or from the past, what's the greatest accomplishment of the Republican-controlled legislature is going to be? We haven't gone through proration because of this rolling reserve system that's been put in. And yes, I very much agree with you that is a fear that we could go back into that, but that's why I feel like that they are going to be looking more towards a rebate system whenever there is a surplus. Last few years we have been expanding government has been expanding quite a bit, and I know some of that's due to inflation. Of course, with inflation, more money comes in. So more money's coming in and the expenditures go up at the same time. But there's still a surplus that's out there. And what's often said, look at what some of the other states are doing. We also need to make sure we keep in mind that our property taxes are very low. And I'm not saying it needs to go up, but that's one of the reasons why they may be cutting some taxes in different areas, whereas we still have our low property taxes, which need to stay exactly where they are, because it's good for the homeowners, landowners, and for recruiting purposes also for businesses coming in.
Senator, got to leave it there. Thanks for your time this morning, and let's talk again soon.
Yes, sir. It's good to be with you and good to be with your audience. Have a great day.
Thanks. Former State Senator Rusty Glover joining us there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Forth Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Life is living in a cheap hotel. The desert's quiet. Cleveland's cold. So the story ends, we're told. I don't need your prayer.